When you think about life, you think about different parts of your story that all unfold. And for me, I think about how Easter, as a little child, had such a great impact on me. Growing up in a home where church was not a regular part of our story, it was always amazing when we got ourselves connected into something like Easter. And I can remember the first time I ever had on a little tie, a little thin, skinny little tie. My dad taught me how to tie it. And I can remember the vivid memories I have of that particular moment, because in that particular time, it was a reminder to me that even in our broken world that we lived in, and our family that was staggered by different issues that it faced, there was always hope connected into Easter. And today we come realizing that the Easter story is the most amazing story that we could ever read. It's a story of people who had banked their hope on something that could transform their lives forever. It's a story of people who looked for an answer when all they'd had was questions. It's a story of how God reached down to man and gave them something that they could never create themselves. Gave them hope, gave them purpose, gave them meaning. See, the reality is when you read the Easter story, Easter is everything to all those who encounter Christ. Yesterday I was preparing, getting ready for the message today, and a message came across from someone I've been trying to encourage. It's interesting, they sent a note to me, and here's what they said. Do you know that feeling of missing someone so bad and getting sad, getting so sad that you start crying? Went on to say, do you know that feeling? Then I wrote back and I said, no doubt, I understand the feeling. But listen to the words written back. That's how I feel about God. I miss Him so much that I'm so desperate to involve Him in my life. You see, that was written by someone who, in the course of life, began to make a few choices. And the choices began to direct the steps. And the steps began to all move in a direction that all of a sudden, instead of someone being close to them, there was a distance. And it's interesting because the words penned, I'm so desperate for Him to be near me, brings us so closely to the story we're looking at today. Because what you discover is when Jesus came on the scene, anybody who was looking for an answer and really wanted an answer, He would become their answer. But there were some who really had had very difficult, challenging circumstances that were governed by choices of their own. But once they got into their vocation, they had a hard time getting out of it. And one of those was a woman who found herself at the well, encountering the one who would become her everything. So today we find ourselves in John, and if you open your Bible to John chapter 20, it's the story of the empty tomb, but it's also the story of a young lady who finds herself looking into her own heart and realizing that the one everything she needed rested in the name of Christ, who had found Himself buried in that tomb. In John chapter 20, we begin reading in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid Him. Verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple went forth and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together and the other disciple ran ahead faster then Peter, and came to the tomb first, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him, entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrapping, but rolled up in a place itself. So the other disciple, who had first come to the tomb, then also entered it, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their homes. Verse 11, where the story gets much more interesting. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Now, I want you to stop there and think about it for a moment. She didn't know who he was. And then all of a sudden, when she heard his voice say, Mary, everything in her had to be so electrified. And she had to be so overwhelmed that all of a sudden, she got to respond. And watch what she says. Look at it with me if you would. Verse 16. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things. Now look over to Luke chapter 24 just for a moment. Just turn back, because I want to show you what happens. Sometimes when you hear something, it doesn't always become your everything. Luke 24, if you would, and verse 11. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. Now, I want you to think about the contrast. Here's Mary Magdalene. She has just heard Jesus call her name. She knew that voice when that voice spoke. But all the others were saying, you know what? I'm not sure this story adds up. We can't quite put the pieces together. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. That is what makes Easter so dynamic and so special. For some, the pieces come together. All of a sudden, they realize something, that the one who died on the cross, who came out of that grave, is the very same one who knocks on our heart's door and says, hey, I want to be a part of your story. I don't want just to be a part of your story. I want to be your story. Because when Easter is everything, something begins to happen. So I want to ask you a question today as we dig into this text, and I want you to think about it in light of where you are in life. Have you ever found yourself missing something in your life? Perhaps it was a peace you had at another juncture. Perhaps it was a joy you longed for. Perhaps it was a love that you felt, that you thought, man, this love really captures me. Perhaps it was a relationship that has gone awry. Perhaps it's a part of your story that you look back and think, man, I wish I could feel and sense when I read the Bible what I used to feel. Perhaps it's the feeling of knowing, hey, you know what, it seems so despairing. And all of a sudden your despair, all of a sudden you start thinking, I don't know how to get out of this despair. You see, what's interesting is Easter is everything to the child of God. It is everything. I want you to think about that in light of what happens with Mary. Because Mary, can you imagine, even those who were closest to Jesus, who refuted what she said, I can guarantee you this, it didn't move her an inch away from him being everything to her. Because she didn't need anybody else's affirmation. She had God's affirmation. She had the Son of God standing there. That's why he says to her, quit hanging on to me. I got things I got to finish. But he makes a very clear statement. He says, you go and tell him about our God and your God, our Father, your Father. And what he was trying to say was, when Easter is everything, all of a sudden something begins to happen inside of us. And I want you to think about this for a moment. First of all, it becomes the answer to hope. It's the answer for everything we would ever want related to hope. Because I'm going to tell you what you discover. We live in a day and time where there's such despair that people long for hope. They look for an answer. They look for a way to solve the problems they face in life. And for Easter, for you and I, it is a reminder to us that there is hope that's always coming. But it's all, more than that. It is also a declaration of the direction God has for our life. Because what you discover is when Jesus came out of that grave, it was the greatest declaration that you and I could ever hear, that he is risen. I mean, can you imagine the power of those words? The significance of what it meant to all those who would end up following him. And what I want you to see today is it. Jesus takes the most unlikely and uses her in the most amazing way. And you may be sitting here saying, I don't feel very, very important. I may not feel significant. I may not feel very connected to anything. What does he do? He uses Mary to remind us that no matter where you come from and what you've lived through, he's still the declaration of direction for your life. You just have to be willing to turn to him and say, Lord, I turn myself to you. But he's more than that. He's a source of joy. Easter is a source of joy for our lives. I'm going to tell you, can you imagine how long it took for Mary to quit smiling? I mean, can you imagine? I had the privilege of walking around, shaking lots of hands during our welcome time. And when I met one couple who they're expecting a child. And if I could have captured the smile on those a young parent's face. Because I'm going to tell you what that smile said. The source of joy that they're going to get from that little one is going to be so profound and special. But I want you to think about this. For all of us, the source of joy we find in Easter exceeds anything we'd ever encounter in life. And so what happens is we discover that all of a sudden we start operating with the realization Easter is everything because it is a place of hope for us. It is a place of direction for us. It is a place of joy for us. But more than that, it connects into His love, because it's the affirmation of the love of God that makes Easter so special for you and me. I mean, think about how much God loves us, that He would be willing to die for us. And this week I was driving down the road, and a girl ran across the road in front of me and another car, and the car in front of me, I was watching them as their brakes were burning to stop. And as she got to the other side of the road, she began to accuse the driver of doing the wrong thing by driving on a green light. Well, I'm sitting there going, this would be a great argument to get in, because what she was saying was that road belongs to me, whether it's red or whether it's green. And by the way, the car missed her by about 2 inches. Her life would have been changed forever. And as I watched that unfold, I thought to myself, you know, here's an experience where it all happens in a snapshot, just like that. But He ends up becoming everything to us if we're willing to stop and look. You know what? There are no accidents when it comes to God's plan. There are no accidents when it comes to God's direction for our life. God has something special in store for each one of us. We just have to be willing to look inside our own heart. And here's the question. If Easter is everything, were there reminders in Scripture that made us think about Easter being everything? I just want to remind you very quickly, as you look at the screen, of some verses that kind of bring this to light. Because here's what the Scripture said. And the key word here is all. Because what you discover is it's either everything or nothing when it comes to what it is God wants to do in our life. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 4, when the instructions were being given to those who obviously understood how to live outside of God's best and how to live inside of God's best, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, this declaration is made. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search for Him with all your heart and all your soul. You look at that verse on the screen, here's what you discover. When you decide He's everything, then He becomes the part of your story that you need. And you all of a sudden realize, hey, you know what? He's the exclamation point. He's not the question mark. He's the emphasis of what it is I'm looking for. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, another promise is revealed there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. In other words, you got to love Him with everything. Because when you start loving Him that way, what happens? He becomes everything to you. And I tell you what you discover. When love is everything, you begin to live life in a whole different way. It has a dynamic to it that's transformational. It changes the way you look at life. And that's exactly what the Bible instructs. But if there's another promise we look at in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And your key word here over and over and over again is all. And anyone in this room, if someone walked up to you and said, I have made a decision to love you 93%. I mean, what would you say? The first question you have is, where's the other 7% going? Right? I mean, another boyfriend, another girlfriend, somebody else? Where's that other 7%? No, you would sit there going, you know what? I either want the whole deal or no deal. In this very room are people who have found themselves encountering a love that was not complete. It was just partial. I'll love you but, I'll love you when, I'll love you if. All those are less than 100%. And what you discover is that with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, all your strength, He becomes everything to you. But Jesus said it best in Matthew chapter 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't you love the word all? I mean, if you went to a buffet today after church and they said to you, you can eat it all. You said, this is going to be a great meal. I'm going to eat this, 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 and this. But if you walked in that same buffet and they said, now, you know what? Guess what? One dip of everything. That's all you get. One dip. And a few years ago, I was at one of those buffet things. And if you can tell, I like buffets. And so I was at this big buffet, and they had the ice cream bar, and they had all these different toppings. And I had already finished my meal part, and it was really good. But I was headed towards the dessert, and there was this little kid standing there at the dessert bar. And you know, you have a spoon for every topping. He would take the first topping, eat a little bit, put it back in the thing. All right? Then he would take the next topping and take a bite and put it in the thing. I sat there thinking, where are his parents? His parents are robbing me of my all. I walked out of there with no sweet taste in my mouth at all because someone else had already put all that to their lips. And here's what I want you to see. When he's everything, I tell you, you discover nobody else is dipping into your cup. He fills your cup with his love, with his joy, with his direction, with his hope, and something happens inside of you. So I want you to think about it for a moment. You're married. You're earlier in life, you find yourself at a well, and Jesus tells you everything about you. All the things you wouldn't want anybody else to know. And oftentimes when I read her story of her transformation, it had to be the most challenging experience of her lifetime. To all of a sudden realize that somebody knows everything. Because here's what we believe. We believe there's a few things here, a few things there, no one knows. Yet the reality is, he knows. And so what happens, though, is her life is transformed. I mean, everything about her is changed. And her story, by the way, there's not lots told about her story post her transformation, except that she made sure everybody that she knew understood God had done something. So we find ourselves in John chapter 20, and here, all of a sudden, I want you just to see three things as you think about Easter. And I want you to think about these three questions because these will help you as you think about this passage. What are you looking for? What are you listening for? And what are you waiting for? I want you to think about that. Because when you start thinking about it, if you start looking for the right thing and you start listening for the right thing and you start anticipating and waiting for what it is that God has for you, something significant will begin to happen inside of who you are. And that's what happens with Mary Magdalene. She finds herself by herself at a tomb. And it's interesting because in verse 11, the Bible says, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. Now, I want you to think about this moment. She's standing and she is waiting. She is waiting, but she does not have hope aside from what she has learned about Jesus. She thinks she's there to finalize all his burial. She thinks that this is the end of the story. And see, oftentimes what happens to people is they encounter Christ by faith, but they think the story ends right there. Listen carefully. When he becomes your everything, your story carries on all the way through. He becomes the completion of what it is you've looked for. He becomes the completion of what you've longed for. He becomes everything. So she's standing and she's waiting. And can you imagine? The Bible says in verse 11, and as she wept, watch this, she stooped and looked into the tomb. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. There's a dark place there, but the sun has risen, and she looks and she begins to stoop in. She begins to kind of look like that. And you can imagine she's looking and wondering and thinking. Can you imagine for a moment how many thoughts she had in her mind running at the same time? As she's standing there, looking in. And what I want you to see today is this. You have to be willing to ask yourself this very clear question. And that is, what are you looking for? Because if you're looking for an answer, you come to the right place because I'm going to tell you Christ is the answer to anything you want to understand about life. Jesus gives us everything we ever long for. He gives us hope, meaning, purpose. He gives us love, direction, and he gives us an opportunity to be able to experience life the way only he could. But she had to wait, didn't she? And as she's looking, it's very evident that all of a sudden two angels in white sitting, one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. In verse 13, and they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Principle number one, it is never easy to wait. When we wait to see what it is he wants to do, to see how he wants to work, to see what he wants to accomplish. It's never easy. And for Mary, she had to look. She's looking. She's waiting. And what you discover by way of principle is that it's never easy to wait, but every promise affirms the resurrection. That's why whenever I find myself at a cemetery or at a funeral or at a burial time, and I begin to hear the affirmation of the relationship that someone has had with Christ, my first thought is, we have to wait to see them again, but we will see them again. So the first thing I want you to see is what you're looking for. Ask yourself that question. And ask yourself, are you willing to stand and wait long enough for God to show up? You see, what Mary could have done is, you know what, this is a waste of time. I've been here a long time. Nothing's happened. But you know what's interesting? She didn't stop, did she? And I love the fact, when you look at this verse, that the Bible says that she found herself standing there. And it's the same thing I feel every time I drive out of my neighborhood. Because in my neighborhood, I drive out of my neighborhood to the entire cemetery there behind Kroll Brother. And very few exceptions, is there not somebody standing there at a grave. And every once in a while, I've wanted to stop and say, did they have hope? Do you have hope? Because listen carefully, if you stand at a grave and there's no hope, it's the most frightening, overwhelming feeling. But if you stand at a grave and you know in your heart that they gave their heart to him, then you have something to stand on that carries you all the way till you see that person face to face yourself. You see, the reality is Mary stood and she waited. But she didn't stop there. Look on with me, because she just, beyond the idea of waiting, there is a voice that shows up. And what I want you to see today is this. Hearing the voice of Jesus is the most important voice you ever hear. Look at it with me, if you would, and just kind of see what happened. And it opens up in verse 14. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. He's right there, but she doesn't know it. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever realized that sometimes he's right there with you and you don't notice it? You don't know why? Because here's what happened. Sometimes we think we're going to resolve our problems on our own. Sometimes we think we're going to fix our issues on our own. Sometimes we think we have the answer to everything. And then all of a sudden, we realize he's right there with us. Right there with us. And so what happens is he's standing there, but she doesn't know. In verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." In other words, I'll take care of everything. You won't have to ever worry about this again. And what happened? All of a sudden, Jesus said to her, "Mary." Now, I don't know how many times you found yourself walking in the valley of sorrow. When you've lost a loved one, or you've gone through a difficulty, or you've faced a heartache, and all of a sudden you hear him call your name. You see, just as much as you were born, he knew you before you ever formed your mother's womb. He knows your name. He knows your story. He knows everything you're about in life. And for Mary Magdalene, you couldn't imagine what she felt. And here, all of a sudden, you begin to ask yourself the question, what are you listening for? Are you listening for the stock market to go up? Are you listening for something to transpire that makes life easier? Are you listening for someone to say, you're the best? And the reality is, listen carefully, you can listen for all those voices all of your life. But the truth of the matter is, none of those voices can take the place of the voice of the one who says to you, come home, be a part of my family. And on this Easter weekend in which we celebrate the resurrection, there's one thing he says over and over again, come home, come home. I'll never forget years ago, I was a child, and I would like to play outside all the time. My parents would always teach me, when you hear our voice, come home. Well, one day I was in the middle of an amazing, fantastic game. I was playing baseball. We were playing out in the sand lot. We were having a lot of fun. And I heard, interesting, by the way, everyone in here can remember their mother's voice no matter what age you are. You can remember that voice. And so I heard my mother. She yelled, and what did I do? I act like I didn't hear it because I was in the middle of the game, and I didn't want to move. I didn't want to leave. And then a few minutes later, I heard the same voice at a different level. You've heard it too, haven't you? When that mother's voice goes, whoom! And finally, somebody showed up. And it wasn't Jesus. I really think it was the devil. My mom, she came and she stood there and she looked at me and said, did you hear me? I looked at her and said, Mom, did you call me? I thought you were calling my brother. And I'll never forget walking back. All the way home, my mom said, you heard me, didn't you? I said, I did, but I was playing the game. And she said, you know what? There's some things more important in the game, and that's being obedient. And I can tell you, when I look back at that experience, it taught me something that set in motion my whole life. Because I learned something. There is a voice that speaks to us that is different than any other voice we ever hear. And I'm going to tell you, when the voice of God speaks to you, you don't ever miss it. It's so distinguishable. And I want to say to you today, it may very well be that you hear his voice today speak to you in a moment. You may hear his voice say, you know what? Come home. Come home. Which, by the way, the difference between Jesus' voice, the Holy Spirit's voice, and my mom's voice, he never has to raise his voice. It's a still, small voice that speaks straight to our hearts. We just have to be willing to listen and hear what it is he's saying. And so here she is. She's listening, and all of a sudden, Jesus calls her name. And you think about that. What you're listening for is so important. But there's a principle connected to this. Because distinguishing his voice is the key to life and direction for every one of us. In other words, when I learn how to hear what it is he's saying to me, then something begins to happen inside of who I am. Because when I hear that voice, and here's what I want you to see, and I want you to get this because it's Easter. He has a voice distinguishable beyond any other voice. He looks inside of you and says, you know what? I know you. I know you. I know what you're up to. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to speak to you. I want to motivate you. I want to challenge you. I want you to think about this for a second. What would happen if we all heard his voice today? If all of a sudden we go, wow, I hear it. And when we hear it, we respond to it. You see, the truth of the matter is, when my mom called me as a little kid, if I had obeyed when she called me the first time, there would have been no consequence when I got home. But I grew up in an era where there was consequence when you disobeyed. And I can remember thinking, this is not going to end well. And let me tell you what was interesting. When I got home, my mom said, you want me or your dad? Well, if you'd ever met my dad, you'd realize you want mom every time. And so I said, I want mom. She said, no, because I had to raise my voice, now you have to speak to your father. And I can remember that experience like yesterday, even though 50 years have passed. And here's what I want you to see. It doesn't matter what age you are, but it does matter you hear his voice. Because the principle is so clear that when you start hearing his voice, he gives you direction, he gives you purpose, and he does something inside of you. There's a third thing that happens here. So first of all, they're standing and waiting. Secondly, she's standing and waiting. Secondly, she finds herself in a place where all of a sudden she's listening for the right voice. And what I want you to see today is this, and I hope you don't miss it. His voice speaking to you is so distinct that when you hear it, it has power, and it changes who you are, how you look at life. I so thank God that I understand his voice, and I listen for it. I listen to what it is he is trying to say to me. Because when you do that, something happens inside of your heart. You find peace instead of trouble. You find joy instead of being overwhelmed with anxiety. You find hope instead of hopelessness. You find purpose. What happens when you hear that voice? But then the story continues to unfold. Because Jesus, in verse 17, what does he say? Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Now, when you look at that, you realize something. What did he really tell her to do? Go tell them my mission is complete. In other words, I'm out of the grave. Things are about to happen in an amazing way. In other words, go tell them something profound is going to transpire. And I'll never forget the firstborn of our grandchildren. We had to sit at the hospital forever. And I sat there, and if you know me, I'm not the most patient person. I kept saying, Cindy, can I go home and take a nap? You call me when this baby gets here. No, you're sitting right there. That way I know my wife's voice too. And so that voice meant you're staying there. And so I sat there and sat there and sat there. And I mean, hours passed. And I sat there thinking, I can't do this anymore. This is driving me crazy. And finally, there was that distinctive word that the baby has been born and everything's fine. Well, everything, all my anxiety disappeared because all of a sudden I realized that the mission was complete, that God had brought into our lives a treasure that we get a privilege of being able to connect to. And what I want you to see today is this. Here's what Jesus says to Mary Magdalene. The mission is complete. Go tell my brethren. In other words, go tell those who are my brothers who are now going to go out and do this, accomplish it. Tell them that everything is in motion. It's ready to move forward. And what happens here is all of a sudden, what he's really saying is, what are you waiting for? And here's what I would ask you. What are you waiting for? If God has something for you, move into it, experience it, accept it, commit to it, take the challenge. You know what? That's what I want to do. That's where I want to go. That's who I want to be. And all of a sudden, obviously, we know the story that here is a story of those who all of a sudden they hear something they never dreamed they would hear. Now, we know Peter and John, they had a glimpse of what was transpiring. They had a glimpse because they realized that there was a whole story. Jesus, all the way back in the earlier part of John, had been saying, I got to die so you live. I got to die so you can live. And can you imagine the math on that? I've got to die so you can live. And they're all going, oh, no, you're the king, don't die. But God had a plan far greater. And here's the principle. He's given us a purpose. He's given us a purpose in life and a plan for our lives. All we have to do is open our heart to it. And if you open your heart to it, here's what you discover. He can do amazing things with you that will change your life forever. So here's the Easter story in a nutshell. When somebody realizes that they can look for the right thing and listen for the right thing and wait for the right thing, then their life can be changed forever. And it may be you're here today, and here's what you realize. You need that step to change your story, to change the way you live, to change what you live for. And if you think about it, my friend who wrote me yesterday, that's how I feel about God. I miss him so much that I'm so desperate to involve him in my life. The question you ask is this: will you let him be your everything? And if you're here today and you'd like for him to be your everything, we'd like to introduce you to what that means. It means committing your heart to follow him. It means encountering him in a way you never dreamed possible. And it may be you're here and you've been looking for him for a long time, and you're just waiting for him to speak to your heart. Here's what you're going to discover. The voice you hear is so distinguishable that as I pray, if you hear his voice, respond to it. And you may say, well, how do I respond? You just take action. If God's speaking to your heart about becoming part of this family, you walk down this aisle. If God's speaking to your heart about giving your heart to him, take action. And here's what you're going to discover. When you follow what God's word says, Easter becomes everything. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. It speaks to our lives, speaks to our hearts in such a distinct and powerful way. I pray you bless every person here. There are families and individuals in this room who perhaps are wanting you to be everything. They're waiting for you to speak to their heart. And Lord, I ask that you would speak directly to them. Lord, if there's someone here who's looking, they've been looking for an answer, they know to follow you is the answer. They know that you distinctively have directed them to this church on this day. And Lord, it may be their first time here. They may have been here many times. But they know they need a home. They know they need you. And so, Lord, I thank you that if you could touch someone like Mary Magdalene, you can touch us. You can touch anyone in this room. And so I pray you bless as we respond. Let this be a moment in which we encounter you in a profound way. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.